Coming to you live from Hypnotone Studios in downtown Sacramento, Bobby and Danny's Vowel Movements with Bobby and Danny, hosted by Bobby and Danny. And now, here's Bobby and Danny.
Hello and welcome to Vowel Movements. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Danny.
And as always, we are brought to you by TedAngel.com.
TedAngel.com.
And we are here at Hypnotone Studios.
In lovely, temperate downtown Sacramento.
Boy, we had more fire in that first segment that just got deleted.
Well, I think we're warmed up now. We're warm now. We're going to find our groove. We're going to find our groove here.
Dan and I just had what may have been the best first segment of a Vowel Movement in episode number 26 ever. And
now this is 26 version 2.0.
Yeah. Here, I got to try to get comfortable again. Usually what happens is I save along the way.
Yeah.
But we're here. We're sitting on a couch in the lobby of Hypnotone Studios. And I pressed record and we just went, and we were 20 minutes into the episode. I was about ready to save, push pause for the first segment, save it. And right as I'm about to do that, we get the gray screen of death.
And that gray screen would be?
Just Apple, this Apple computer over here. For some reason, it's my old Apple computer.
Okay.
But it just shut down.
Okay.
And so, and I'm we hadn't saved.
I'm confident that we're going to just pick up right where we left off, and even more so because, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
I'll tell you why. Okay. Because now the vibe is totally different. Now, granted, I was talking earlier about how I'm going to miss seeing your awesome wrestling video collection, your video library, both in DVD, Blu-ray, and VHS.
A lot of VHS. We can thank Chris Wisnia, the comic artist, Chris Wisnia, for a lot of the videotapes. He gave me his entire videotape collection.
Nice.
Which is probably 200 hours of old WWF television shows just recorded.
And and then you had artwork. We also had the cats would come in make a visit every now and then. And then the sound of our wives playing SingStar downstairs.
That's gone.
So all of that is gone, but there's something that's different now. Now we're both sitting on a couch.
We are. We're very close.
Little different now, because before, it's not really your average conversation between friends of one guy sitting across the room in a chair and another guy sitting at the desk in a chair kind of turned to facing him. This is more two guys having a conversation.
It is.
So that's why I'm confident that we're going to just pick up right where we
left off. Me too. There is, I said, now in the segment that got erased, I talked about my placeholder words and phrases.
Yes.
We had just talked about that before the episode froze, but is one of the worst ones. I've listened to a few of our episodes this past week trying to, God dang it.
I was saying how
I'm trying to be a better broadcaster.
On the radio show, I'll say awesome.
Okay.
I just, when I'm really excited, it's like, oh, and it was so awesome.
Okay.
And so I overuse that word. So it kind of takes its flavor away after that. And I've been noticing that I say nice often.
Nice.
Nice. That's nice, Kevin. And so there's those sorts of things that I think, and we mentioned in version 1.0 that our president, who is considered a great public speaker,
a great orator,
says,
yes,
often
he does.
So, I mean, we all have our things.
All right. But I'm going to quit saying, so much when I'm explaining something.
Okay.
Now, I feel I need to explain again that I am just getting over a bout of bronchitis. So you're going to hear me wheezing and coughing.
That's okay.
In this episode. So.
All right. And other things we talked about is how we can redecorate, because here we are in Hypnotone Studios in lovely downtown Sacramento. Longer drive for you.
That's all right. It's only 20 minutes.
Only 20 minutes. Okay.
What, it takes you about 10?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Okay,
10 minutes.
See,
well, right now it took it. It should have taken me 10 minutes to get here, but all of the traffic lights in South Sacramento are blinking red. And for some reason, people in South Sacramento have no idea what that means.
They don't get
They're waiting for it to start blinking green. And I'm sitting there in like number 20 in line, and like four intersections, you know, all four people at the intersection all stopped, not knowing what to do.
Wow.
I feel like I have to go up there and knock on it. Take turns. Just, it's like a four-way stop now.
You're going to have to get out there and be like the intersection cop. And
like I don't know what I'm going to need to be, but you know, but it was frustrating.
Are you going to go home the long way, try to go home the back way?
I'm probably going to walk. I'll just leave my car here. I'm just going to walk home. I'll get there faster. But
so, yeah, I mean, it is a longer commute from my living room up to the office, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to get us recording a little bit more.
Okay.
I think we are definitely more apt to meet up.
Yeah.
As absolutely. Opposed to, you know, because I always feel like I'm kind of putting you out a little bit coming all the way to Woodland. I mean, it's more of an effort.
Well, I look at it this way. The radio show is just, make sure I'm saying this the right way. The radio show is not an excuse to come hang out, but it's like, it's almost secondary. Because like the first thing is like, I go hang out with you and Paloma, mm-hmm. and just hang out, talk, have some snacks, have a few drinks. And then, you know, we go upstairs, we do the show, and then we hang out downstairs.
Yes.
So it's like the radio show. So there's lots of other things going on besides just us doing the radio show.
Of course.
Here, it's kind of like when you're in a band and you're renting a rehearsal space. You know, when you're practicing at your house, you have all that time to
sure, you
to
kind just, of goof off.
Yeah, you and goof off. And then I remember when Secretions were practicing in a basement.
Uh-huh.
Down the street was a bar. Around the other corner was another bar. There was a liquor store. There was a convenience store.
When so you're talking down the street, I mean, it's two houses
yeah,
away
two
is
houses
a bar.
Two houses away is a
two
bar.
Two houses around the corner the other way is a
is
bar.
Is a bar. Yeah, so yes. It was so right easy. There, yeah. It was so easy. If one of us got there early, we always went to the bar, and we'd text the others, I'm at this bar having a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd meet there, and we'd waste time, and then it was really easy. Well, I'm going to just go over to the store and take care of that. You know, doing it at the house, coming to you live from a room in a house, it was really easy just to hang out
sure.
and talk and then lose track of time and then realize, oh, it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. We got to do it. Yeah, let's do our radio show. I think now it's like, okay, get here, get work done. It's kind of like a band getting a rehearsal space.
I agree.
You're using that time, get work done.
Yeah, tonight it was a little bit more because we had to get everything dialed
yeah.
in. We
yeah.
had to get the system, the mm-hmm. mics, everything set up. I think when we come in next time, it's going to be boom, boom, boom.
No.
We won't be sitting here. And when we got here, I asked Ted if he could remix our intro.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about the new intro.
Oh, yeah. So the new intro is the Chicks Dig It song, Dolphins Love Kids, that we've,
yes.
That we've always used.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except we're not using the Chicks Dig It version.
We are using...
Well, wow, that's a little narcissistic now that I say it out loud, but yeah. that's the Bobby Jordan version. Wow.
Here's why it's okay. At first, I didn't, when you said we have a new song,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sitting there waiting for it, and then I'm like, hey, this is the same song we've had before. And then I started noticing there's keyboards.
Yep.
There's keyboards, and you were saying, oh, it's just a drum machine, but it's a pretty good sounding drum machine, if you ask me. But I thought it sounded great.
Well, thanks.
I thought it sounded great.
I
so
just
the Bobby Jordan version.
For the new coming to you live from Hypnotone Studios,
yeah.
Would have a different sounding song just because I had that.
Yeah.
I had that song laying around, so I just thought it would be fun to do. No really ulterior motives of trying to make myself over or anything. Sorry.
All right, so let's talk about redecorating our room. Now, even though it's not our room, it's
the lobby.
It's the lobby of Hypnotone Studios.
It is.
And it's still, Hypnotone, it's just a baby. They're just starting
just
out.
Just starting.
They just started. I mean, it looks great.
They've recorded just a couple bands so far.
Yeah, there's where the engineer room looks awesome.
It does.
The main room where the bands are, great. There's amps and drums and carpet and just soundproofing. And where we're at's a little more rudimentary. You know,
this is probably the last
stop along the way. So I think that's when we can jump in.
Yeah, so Ted's going to, he has some curtain things that are going to go up on the walls.
Yeah.
And then artwork over that. And I think that the artwork is probably going to be velvet paintings.
Okay.
His wife, Courtney Angel, has a ton of velvet paintings in the garage. I think he was going to ask her if he could put those up in here.
Okay.
So we'll see. She may have plans for those and that might not happen. So you had ideas about some
framed artwork.
Okay.
Like posters.
Okay.
Like the, it was a classic from the 80s.
Yes.
Of three lovely ladies on the bed of a truck.
Okay.
And wearing very skimpy thong bikinis. Okay. And underneath, in like this really cool slanted font, it said, Holland Ass.
Yeah, I think that'd be great in here.
Because it's kind of, it's a double entendre. It has more than one meaning.
Yeah, it does. Excuse me. Yes,
you were also saying the Budweiser?
Yes, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Wow. What if we just brought all that bad stuff down here? We're like, oh no, we thought it'd be good.
Yeah, we wanted to class up the joint.
So there's a corner over there that has a bunch of Tim Pratt's amps and old grandpa TV, just a whole bunch of stuff. He's going to clear that out, and I'm going to bring my video game down here.
Are you ready to say goodbye to your video game, though?
Well, the plan is to come down to the studio more often, so if I can come and play it once or twice a week, I'll be okay with it, even though I do play it every day.
See, because that's what I was thinking about, because when in the lost episodes of Vowel Movements that we had earlier, as Bobby hits the save button, you were talking about how as part of your daily routine, you come home, you turn on the video game, you take care of whatever, whether it's feeding the cats, clean the litter box, check your email, check voice message, whatever, and then you play one of the video games. Are you ready to have that part of your daily routine?
Well, the fact is, I am 42 years old, but even before then, for as long as you've known me, I have a little panache with my living areas, I guess. I have a certain style.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That video game clashes with my style. I have an 80s style video arcade game in my living room, and it can't go into any other room because I live in a two-story house.
Yeah.
I tried moving it up there. It's like 500 pounds. It's just not going to go. So it really bothers me that it's in there. I just love it. And Ploma says she loves it because every boy should have a video game.
Yeah.
And she knows how much pleasure I get out of it.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
I don't want, and we're thinking about putting, flooring downstairs, some laminate wood type flooring.
Uh-huh.
And really, we're trying to make it look like a house. And, it really looks like a bachelor pad with a video game in the front room. I mean, Ploma, God bless her, she's fine with it. But, I'm less fine with it than she is. So I think it would be perfect down here.
Ah, all right, then. Now, other people are going to be allowed to play the video game?
Oh, of course. It's going to be in the lobby of the studio.
Are you going to set up the quarters?
it's free.
Oh, man. Is there any way to set it up so that people have to put quarters
in? Well, I could just put a dummy slot in it and tell someone, figure it out that the quarters are just going nowhere, at the bottom of the thing, maybe. So,
well, I mean, we can fund the Vowel Movements.
But, that would look good on the Hypnotone website.
Yeah.
Here's the lobby. Look at this video game.
Yeah.
Maybe. Not that that's going to be a plus for someone to come in and spend $40 an hour or whatever they're charging.
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
Or 35. I don't know what they charge.
Yeah.
You have to call Hypnotone Studios and ask. I really don't know what they charge. So,
but it's going to be, this will be home.
This will be home.
Yeah, this will be home.
And not that we can't still do the show occasionally from our house.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you and Aaron
are gonna
come over.
Do you still have everything set up at home?
Yes. So we have, I got some mic cables, some headphones for a travel case to come down here.
Okay.
We're not leaving stuff set up here, but we'll have, and tonight we're borrowing some very nice Hypnotone Studio microphones.
Okay.
Thank you, TedAngel.com.
And TimPratt.com and AndyVaughn.com.
And Hypnotone, I don't know what their website is. Hypnotone.com?
I don't know. Well,
look it up on the internet. What? When we take a break, we'll look it up.
All right, there you go.
So yeah, so here we are, right back in the groove, even though we lost that first segment that I thought was so great.
That's fine. The next segment we can talk about my new holiday drink.
Okay. Well, and we could talk about it
now. Do we have time?
Yeah, we have.
All right. Well, we want to build this up now. Now, so I tried Yeah, and this might help you get over your bronchitis.
Okay.
Even though you're not drinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I am 1 month sober today.
1 month sober. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
As I sit here and drink my third Olympia.
That I bought for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everyone out there, I'm not trying to earn a chip. I'm just not drinking for a while.
There
That's
you
it.
Go. How do you feel? Do you feel any better?
Oh, God, I've gained weight.
Did you?
I started drinking soda like a jackass.
That's the bad thing.
Yeah.
That's the bad part.
And there's candy. I've been eating candy. I quit eating candy. Well, I've been eating candy. And mm-hmm. I ate a whole lot of pumpkin pie over the past, couple of
pumpkin
weeks.
Pumpkin pie is so good.
So, yeah, I need to temper my holiday eating and then I'll be all right. So,
all right. So, well, hopefully you feel better.
But I don't feel better because this whole bronchitis thing has really kind of thrown me.
So then I was interested in how to make a hot toddy.
Okay.
Which technically a hot toddy is just a spiced alcoholic drink.
Okay, so a hot toddy isn't one particular drink.
You make your own. And you just come up with your own design. So basically I'm a big fan of old fashioned, so I made my own hot old fashioned. So I just put a shot of bourbon in a coffee cup with a little orange rind, little maraschino cherry, and then in a pot I heat up water, brown sugar, cinnamon, squeezed an entire orange into it.
So all of this sounds very holiday festive.
Yeah, very holiday. Okay. And then a big chunk of ginger, peeled and grated in there, and I just let that stew for a while. And then there's a secret ingredient.
Okay.
That I'm not going to give away.
All right.
Not going to give away the secret ingredient. And then I pour that into the cup with the bourbon. And it was, shared that. My wife and I and our friend Julie shared it. And the two ladies called it the hot naughty.
That's okay. So your own special drink.
It's my own special drink, the hot naughty. And
you may want to start keeping track of these because, as I have said before, your Bloody Mary is of legendary status. So
the only one I wish I could remember was
Dad's 7-Up,
Daddy's Sprite,
Daddy's Sprite.
Now, Corey Vick.
Was that from last New Year's?
That was from two New Year's ago.
Okay.
Two New Year's ago. I don't. Was it a New Year's?
It was a New Year's. Yeah.
Okay. It was a New Year's.
Oh yeah. Because we were all hammered.
And I don't know if we were running out of...
No, you guys are just making up. We were definitely not running out of anything.
But for some reason, we had 7-Up or Sprite or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know
it was. There was no 7-Up in it.
Yeah, okay.
That was the thing. There was no 7-Up in it, and you guys made a drink.
Just seltzer water, and it tasted like 7-Up.
And it tasted like 7-Up. It was awesome. I'm like, this is great.
And then Corey says, we should just call this Daddy Sprite.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, that was a great drink. So
I wish we wrote down what was in it because we tried replicating it.
It didn't work. Yeah.
Didn't work. Just tasted like booze.
Yeah, that's too bad. It was a great drink. So
we'll try and do that again this New Year's.
All right. So your drink had ginger in it.
Had ginger.
And I asked before. Now, did people start calling redheads gingers before Gilligan's Island or after Gilligan's Island?
And I didn't have an answer for you. I'm going to say after.
So do you think that's why they call redheads gingers?
I think so.
Because what else would it mean?
Because a ginger root is not red.
I don't think so.
If anything, that would be a blonde.
Yes.
Because a ginger root looks more like a blonde than anything else. And then I asked you if you were a Marianne or a ginger.
Yeah, and I was always a Marianne.
Marianne.
Except not always.
Next. I'll tell you what did it for me. As a kid watching Gilligan's Island, I was always Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
Always Marianne. Then after I hit puberty and I was watching reruns once again, it was the Mosquitoes episode. Do you remember the Mosquitoes? The ladies had the honeybees.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Ginger Grant, Tina Louise, in that I think it was a green sweater and doing their song You Need Us.
Gotcha.
And that's how much I know the song. I know the title of the song. I know the honeybees. I know how she did her hair.
Did it move?
Oh yeah. So that's when I realized that's what ginger was all about.
I gotcha. All right. So it moved. We're going to take a break.
There you go. And I'll tell you what the secret ingredient was.
Hey, thanks.
All right.
Yeah, because usually I like to laugh at our audience that when we speak vague about something, that we get to know the secret when we take a break. Like, we'll tell each other what it is.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe you'd keep that a secret.
No, no. That we're going to keep this a constant. Even though we're at a new location, we'll keep it a constant. So we've got bourbon. We've got a maraschino cherry, an orange rind in a cup, and then hot water, brown sugar, ginger, an entire orange squeezed into it, cinnamon, and a secret ingredient.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. I'm going to find out the secret ingredient.
All right.
Dan, all this equipment is falling apart.
Hey there, Prince. I really like the purple duct tape on your mic stand.
Well, what else am I supposed to do?
Why don't you just go to Amazon and buy a mic stand?
Hey, speaking of that,
you can go to valmovements.net and click support, and that'll take you directly to a banner that you can click that'll take you to Amazon.
And when you shop on Amazon through our page at valmovements.net, we get a couple of bucks for it, and it doesn't cost you anything more.
All right, welcome back to Vowel Movements.
We are back, and that was the secret ingredient, Bobby Jordan.
Now I know why it tastes so good.
There you go. You got to search far and wide for that. You got to search far and wide. Now you said a podcast that mentioned us.
So Seth Milstein is a comedian out of Eugene, Oregon, and he has a podcast called The Podcast Cast.
Okay.
And it's him and a buddy talking about podcasts that they listen to.
Okay.
It's a really funny show. Our friend Terry from the Tagcast podcast was on the show, so I listened to it. And he gave us a big shout out.
Oh.
Talked about Vowel Movements, you know, just told everyone about us. And the next episode of the Podcast Cast, they reviewed our show.
Uh-oh.
Believe me, when I... And because they don't pull any punches.
Okay.
You know, they talk about new podcasts and they'll say what they like and don't like about it. You have a voice for radio. You speak concisely and with a purpose.
Yeah, whatever.
I feel that, I mean, I have a strange nasally voice. I speak in an odd cadence.
I think everyone thinks their voice is nasally.
Okay. Well, all right. Okay. That may be true. But, you know, I use a lot of crutch words like we've talked about. Okay. I don't have a prototypical broadcaster's voice.
Okay. Start smoking.
I don't lose my train of thought. I have so much going on in my head that it has a hard time coming out at times.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, I have so much going on in my head. I'm just saying...
my mouth can't even grasp all the knowledge in my head.
What I mean is, I have so much scrambled stuff going on. I can't stay on a straight line a lot.
Okay.
So I was really worried. I really was. You know, I knew that our podcast sounded great.
Mm-hmm.
I love our format. I like that we have these 20-minute chunks.
And everyone would think it's like, okay, all the bands that you've been in, all the bands that I've been in, when I tell people I have a podcast, they're like, oh, can I give you my band CD? I'm like, no, we don't really play music. I mean, there's music every now and then, but it's not like, oh, and coming up next, we've got the latest hit from Mission Satellite.
Exactly.
So I think that's an interesting thing about it, is that it's quite honestly is two guys talking.
Yeah.
It's a very Seinfeld-esque
And that's the podcast. Thing. We sit down, like a lot of times I like to think I do show prep.
Yeah.
It's usually a post-it note of a couple of things I've thought of before you
and
come
to be
over.
Honest, sometimes there's two Post-its, but I think that's it. It's not like, okay, here's what we're talking about. There's been a few times when we were doing the show at your house, we would sit down, you know, in the kitchen, hanging out and talking, and then right before we'd get into discussing something, we'd both kind of you would usually initiate it, but we'd both kind of like, okay, let's hold back on talking about that.
Yeah,
that'll give us something to talk about.
Always, yeah. When we're down in the kitchen, I'm always like, I'll hold on to that thought because you want it to be fresh and new. And
so it was always a little awkward for me to make small talk with a friend I see all the time. Yeah, so this is really good beer. Man, these peanuts are just salty enough. Not too salty, but
yeah. So at any rate, you know, the podcast cast reviewed us, and
okay,
and just before they reviewed it, they said, okay, and now we're going to review Vowel Movements. And I was just I honestly was nervous, and the first thing they said was, I loved this podcast.
Oh,
and I was so blown away, because first off,
the check got through then.
You know, this is a comedian, a guy that gets on stage and tells jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And so he knows what it takes to bring the funny.
Yeah.
And I was really worried with him listening, because we just sit here and BS and,
yeah, we're not
and
comedians.
Record for an hour.
We're not comedians by any means.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we think we're hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
But that, well, you can't. I mean, I could never do what a stand-up comedian does.
No, you know what's funny? You know, the local comedian, Alec Roberts,
mm-hmm.
We were talking one day, and I was talking to him about, he started doing stand up, and he's like, yeah, you know, the funniest thing is a lot of people say, oh man, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they always say, because they have all these reasons, but it's never, yeah, I could never do that. I'm not very funny. Because like everyone thinks they're funny. I think I'm hilarious.
I
know I am, because it's what we've talked about.
Yeah.
We married up, and I don't know about your relationship, but my relationship is based solely on the fact that I constantly crack my wife up.
Yeah.
I was always making her laugh.
Oh,
so I know,
man,
that's why she's with me.
If humor was foreplay, my wife and I were doing it all day yesterday. I was just in a saucy mood. I think it was partial hangover or whatever,
sure,
or just being in a good mood. And I was just cracking her up.
That's good.
And you have to do that. But I mean, that's totally different from being a stand-up comedian, a storyteller. I mean, you're not just,
sure,
up there cracking one-liners, but I mean, you got to really be able to captivate that audience.
Yeah.
Right now, we can't hear the hecklers.
And that's right.
We can't hear Rick and Sean yelling at us,
yes,
as they're listening to us. But
well, and that's the thing I was worried about, with a comedian reviewing our show, is that we're a bit aimless.
Yeah.
So,
it's our style.
I was really happy to hear them getting our show.
Okay.
You know, they didn't go to vowelmovements.net and see the about page and really know what we were about. They just went, pushed play, and listened. And, you know, we're kind of trying to figure out, are we involved in wrestling? I think one of them is.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I think they're musicians, you know, not knowing that we've toured around the world.
Yeah,
not to,
absolutely.
We've toured around the world.
We don't have enough time to say all of the places we've played.
But I just mean, like, you know, yes, we are musicians.
Yes.
Yes, we, you know, I was formerly involved in pro wrestling. Dan, what's funny is they called it amateur wrestling. That always kills me. Guys that don't understand pro wrestling, they think if you're not on TV,
it's
you're
professional.
Amateur.
I get paid $10 sometimes, okay? That is professional.
So I wonder, how does that work with, like, comedians? Oh, you're an amateur comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder how, because, like, oh, no, if you're not Jerry Seinfeld, you're not a professional comedian.
So next time someone comes up to me and says, yeah, I'm a comedian. Oh, do you do that backyard comedy stuff?
Exactly.
You know, you and a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
You have your own cable access show? Channel 17 at 2 a.m. Tuesday nights.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Backyard comedy.
So that kind of killed me. They called it amateur wrestling. But
yeah,
they had really good things to say. They could tell that we were actual buddies.
Yeah.
And that it sounded like, you know, oh, we were just hanging out, having a good time. And the biggest compliment was, they said, these just sound like a couple of guys that you want to have a beer with.
Good.
And you know what?
That's quite honestly, I mean, that's kind of the... What you envision this to be. You're just like, I just want to just sit down.
Yeah.
We're going to have a couple beers. We're going to talk.
Well, and that's what I hope, that, like, when people listen to this, if we're talking about something, that they want to be involved in the conversation, that they could, because of the podcasts I listen to, I picture myself kind of sitting there and wishing I could, mm-hmm. you know, interject and, yeah. oh, and talk yeah. about, you know, relate things that are relatable. So,
mm-hmm.
so
and which is like what you pick up, like listening to Art of Wrestling,
uh-huh.
and Colt Cabana is just sitting there having a conversation with someone and, you know, asking really good questions, sure. but it's like, I mean, when I listen to that, I feel the same way. I was like, man, I would love to just sit in and yep. interject every now and then, but just listen.
Of course.
You know, just hang out with these guys.
I think that was the great thing about them listening to episode 25 is Colt Cabana had just been on Mark Maron's
yes.
podcast. They are fans of the Mark Maron podcast. Mm-hmm. So they listened to this pro wrestler on Mark Maron's podcast. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the week before they had reviewed, when Terry was on, they had reviewed that episode and talked about, wow, we really liked him. He seemed kind of smart for a pro wrestler. Mm-hmm. Just, again, thinking most pro wrestlers are just junior high dropouts, yeah. not really realizing that most pro wrestlers kind of have it together.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they listened to our episode and realized that, you know, we've had contact with Colt Cabana, you more than yeah. me, but you know that I reached out to him in the last episode I talked about. You know, I reached out to him. You have had correspondence with him, yeah, and that yeah. you're kind of impressed with, you know, that there was a little Colt Cabana, oh, you know, yeah. You know, all of their worlds kind of coming together. I mm-hmm. guess our worlds intertwining with, yeah. with one another. Yeah. So.
And now what part of Oregon is he based out of?
Eugene.
Uh-huh. Okay. Speaking of wrestling, my friend Gabe
yes?
is involved with Portland Wrestling. They just started a televised show. And we're talking old school televised wrestling in
awesome.
A TV studio. Just audience on one side, bleachers.
No kidding.
The main person behind the scenes running everything, the Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's one of the main guys running everything back there. And there's a couple of news articles. When I get home tonight, I'll post a link on our Facebook
page. Okay, great.
The news story that they did for Portland Wrestling is on TV now, and They've got a weekly show. My friend Gabe, who wrestles as the Big Ugly uh-huh. J.D. Bishop, he was telling me how he was recently reprimanded for a promo that he cut because they have to keep it very, very PG. And he didn't swear, but let's just say he used current events surrounding Elmo uh-huh. into a promo.
Gotcha.
And he just kind of got reamed for that.
Yeah.
So, but what's cool about that, it's like they're not giving him, all right, you have to say sure. this. They're trusting
just,
these wrestlers.
Just stay within go these guidelines.
There, go out there, do what you do, say what you can
and
say.
And let's just say that Gabe, the Big Ugly, has been known to go over the line.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've been on wrestling shows where he's the booker, and before the wrestling shows, not to, you know, I'm pulling the curtain back sure. and letting everyone see. The promoter or the booker will sit down with the wrestlers and just run down the show, or at least a good promoter
uh-huh.
or a good booker will sit down, go over the entire show with the wrestlers and say, okay, here's what's happening in match one, here's what's happening in match two, blah, blah, blah. Goes over all that, mentions people, please don't, you know, watch what you say on the mic. No, don't touch any of the fans. Don't throw any of the chairs around. Don't, you know, and if there's like something special happening, like if in the main event a table is going to be broken, they'll tell the wrestlers, don't break any tables, we're saving something for the main event.
Gotcha.
And and one of the things that the Big Ugly would always say is like, no swearing on the mic.
Uh-huh.
Soon at beginning of the show, oh. here comes the Big Ugly, and it is like, it's like Don Rickles on the microphone out there, and it's he just goes off, and then he comes back and we're like, yeah, no swearing on the mic, huh? It's like, oh, I don't know what happens. I just get all excited about it. But no, but he's doing really well. He's doing really well. Today is the one-year anniversary of a horrific car accident that yep. he was in that kind of put him out of commission for a while. So I'm glad that he's still here to celebrate that one-year anniversary
yeah, no
of,
kidding.
Of that car accident.
Yeah, it really messed up his back.
Very, oh, yeah, very absolutely, bad, so. Absolutely. And and you know, for a guy who trains as often as he does, you know, whether it's in the ring or in the gym, you know, it really cut into his lifestyle.
Yeah,
and that was a hard thing for him to, you know, because I mean, he's got a great life. He's got a wonderful family. Mm-hmm. He's a coach, and he's got a lot going on for him. But wrestling's a big
yeah,
thing
absolutely.
For him. And I really do think he's one of the best trainers and one of the best teachers I've ever had.
I agree.
period. And, you know, he's probably past the age that WWE would be looking for. I mean, WWE is not looking for any 33, 34-year-old wrestlers right now. But he, boy, he could be one of the head trainers down at any of their developmental systems. You can put him in charge, and he will produce athletes who can perform in that ring and on the microphone. Yep. He can do that.
That's I totally agree.
So hopefully that you know. So I say that just because Portland is a wrestling mecca.
That's what I grew up watching.
And, you know, it's like some of your favorite wrestlers.
Oh, they all came out of the Pacific Northwest. Actually, Roddy Piper, Playboy Buddy Rose. Mm-hmm. Actually, grown up, Adrian Adonis.
Yeah,
Jesse Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
These were all wrestlers I grew up watching before they went on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, and you pick up Roddy Piper's biography.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the pictures in there are from Portland wrestling, and so hopefully it's another era for those guys. And I love it because one of the first wrestling shows I ever went to was here in Sacramento at the TV 40 studios, and it was a little tiny warehouse.
That's just awesome.
And
they got to go to one.
Yeah, and all they had was a bleachers on one side, and there's maybe 20 or 30 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Playboy Buddy Rose versus Tito Santana.
God, that's just so awesome.
And I called, and I think I forget which episode I first mentioned this in, but calling Playboy Buddy Rose a big fatso and him telling me to shut up, and I didn't say a word for the rest of the night. And I mean, that was just a huge deal to me. And I feel like, wrestling has gone into the huge arena spectacle, which is awesome. It's great. If you ever get a chance to go to a big live event, it's like you saw what it did to our friend Sean Hills, who's not a big wrestling fan.
We took him, and he realized
it's like a rock concert of wrestling.
Yep.
And that's great, but it's like that small studio feel, like what the NWA did for so many years.
Yep.
Audience just on one side.
Well, what I love about that is, that I have, I said again. I always make the parallel that there aren't many American folk arts left. There is quilt making, pumpkin carving, and professional wrestling. That's all that's left. That's all we've got. But I really do believe that pro wrestling it's so Americana, and people should love it so much. And to see it, especially in Portland, and being, I don't want to say underground, but not on this big national thing, being a regional spectacle is just awesome. I love it.
I really hope it takes off, but doesn't get so big that they want to try and compete with TNA and WWE.
Sure.
Keep it at that level to where it's a local homegrown thing, and maybe that will get other promotions to. It'd be nice if Supreme Pro Wrestling had the funding to be able to do that, to have a weekly TV show.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But who knows? So good luck to all those guys, the Blanchards and all the boys up there.
Yep.
They're a lot of fun, and they're good people.
They're really good people.
And they're in one of wrestling's meccas. I think the Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, the Cow Palace, and Memphis,
of course,
Los Angeles, New York, obviously. Those are all like the American meccas for pro wrestling.
We're at in Texas. Where were the Von Erichs?
I think that was that,
I don't know,
Amarillo or Dallas?
I don't know. Amarillo, I guess. I mean, because I know the Guerreros were
El Paso. Okay. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm blanking on that. I just watched, a couple months ago, I just watched the rise and fall of World Class Championship Wrestling.
Don't forget AWA in Minnesota, and then, of course, Stampede in Calgary.
Oh, yeah.
So when you think meccas, I think that about has it covered. Florida. Of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because who was the...
Dusty Rhodes came
out of
Florida.
Dusty Rhodes. Kind of weird. You don't associate him with Florida. Mm-hmm. He's always associated with Texas and Cowboys and dining with kings and queens and living on pork and beans. But
all right, we're going to take another break.
All right.
I don't know. We won't talk about pro wrestling in the third segment, Sean.
Probably not, but you never know.
But we might. I hope you like it.
Yeah.
Your ears is gonna ring, and your eyes
So let me get this straight. All I have to do is go to valmovements.net.
That's correct.
And I click the button that says support.
That's correct.
And it takes me to a page where all I have to do is click on something, and it's going to take me directly to Amazon.
That's also correct.
Well, then what happens from there?
Click on that link, and it takes you to Amazon.com, and it's business as usual. You're on Amazon, buying stuff left and right, but Vowel Movements is getting some credit for it.
But does it cost any more?
Not a penny more.
Do it. It's the right thing to do.
Back for our third and final segment of episode number 26 on Vowel Movements.
Point two.
Here we are at the studio, in the lobby of the Hypnotone Studios.
Hypnotone Studios. I'm going to be coming here in January with the Moans.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're really excited about that, to record something.
I'm excited for you guys to do it. I didn't realize that you hadn't been here.
No,
until you asked me where it was.
I
and then,
had no idea where I was.
Yeah, I was back in the... in the control room with Ted, and then I see you come in and
but it's very convenient. It's very conveniently located in downtown Sacramento. Is it freeway close?
Freeway close.
Plenty of places to eat and drink and shop nearby. There's shopping near. I might hit the Target in a little bit.
Sorry, I'm having a little problem.
Pick myself up a few first act microphones. So the other day I was driving down my street and there was a microphone in the middle of the street. I'm like, oh my God. You know, I'm thinking to myself, did that come out of my car after the show, or did we drop it? I'm like, wow, free mic. And I pull over and go out there. It's a first act. I just left it there. I'm like, I'm driving.
I hear you. So we're going to get to our Facebook page.
Okay.
I'm playing a show this Friday, if
you're
anyone is interested.
This Friday.
I am playing at the Naked Lounge.
Yes.
That's at 1111 H Street in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. It's a Toys for Tots benefit. So bring a toy.
Unwrapped.
Unwrapped toy.
A new toy.
Bring a new unwrapped toy, please.
Okay.
Or you can bring $5 or $10. It's a donation.
Okay.
I'm playing with Eric Hansen. He's the one that put the show on. And playing with a bunch of people. Jay Shaner, Sherman Baker, John Conley, sister Katie. It's going to be a really great show. Everyone doing Christmas songs.
Okay.
Or holiday songs, whatever.
You want to let us know what you're going to play, or is it all going to be a surprise?
Just come out.
All right. There you go.
All right.
Do you have you written a Christmas song?
Yeah, I have. I will be doing that song.
Okay.
I recorded that a few years ago with Bobby J and the Harlots.
Okay.
And it was on a split with TedAngel.com's band.
That one,
the Mallrats, and Baby Grand. We recorded at the old Retrofit Studios.
I have that CD somewhere. It's a great
So I'm going to be, I'll do that song and then a couple others.
Now, Baby Grand used to always do a Christmas show here in Sacramento, and they have evolved into Arts and Leisure.
Uh-huh.
Will Arts and Leisure be doing a Christmas show?
Mm-mm. No, I think because Baby Grand hadn't done it for the past maybe 2 years. I think it just got to be too much, where all of a sudden, like, they spent 2 months preparing for one show.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden you're, you know, only working on your own stuff 10 months a year. So I think that was... I don't want to speak for them, but I think that's what the deal was.
Okay. Well, earlier today on our Facebook, I posted, we're going to hit the studio in about an hour. Hit us up with questions and topics. 4 people liked that.
All right. Thanks for liking that.
Thank you.
Looks like Jason just asked, where do babies come from?
He should know.
He has a lot, huh?
Chris and Marietta Hambeck, teething tablets.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. Is that a baby thing? Is it a sex thing? I have no idea.
I have no idea what that means.
All right, now there's the like button. But maybe they should come up with a I have no idea what you're talking about button. Holiday traditions, favorite Christmas songs, Maloof douchebaggery. All right, holiday traditions. We just had Thanksgiving recently.
We did.
Do you have any traditions for Thanksgiving?
Well, Paloma, growing up, that was after her parents split,
mm-hmm.
that was her holiday with her dad.
Okay.
So that's what I do for Thanksgiving. Paloma doesn't care about any other holiday. She doesn't care about Christmas. She doesn't care about 4th of July. It's all about Thanksgiving. So we go up to her dad's for Thanksgiving.
That's interesting. Because you guys really don't do a whole lot for Christmas.
We don't, although I located the Christmas tree. We actually have two, believe it or not.
Okay.
I have a vintage silver Christmas tree, and then we have a newer red tinsel tree.
Wow.
And we're actually going to put it up this year. I'm thinking about putting up Christmas lights outside.
Wow.
We decided we're going to start doing Christmas.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Awesome. So,
you know, last year we had a really good time over at your house when you guys were, or was it last year?
Yeah, it was last year when we were setting up the Christmas tree and you guys came over.
When Paloma broke your ornament. Did you ever fix that?
I believe we did, and it's up on the tree right now. It's up on the tree.
If not, I'll fix it.
No, don't worry.
All right.
About that.
But yeah, it was really fun. We had a good time doing that last year.
It was a good time. My wife and I, we braved the elements here in Sacramento. It was pretty stormy here in Sacramento.
For Sacramento, for us, it was insane.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are people that live just 2 hours up the hill that would be laughing at us.
Yeah.
You know, a little rain.
Or people on the west or on the east coast.
Sure.
Yeah, would be laughing.
I house sat this past week. They have horses and dogs, so I took care of the horses and dogs. There's a big front pasture that's out by the road, and then a side pasture that leads to the horse barn. Well, the side pasture was flooded, and the big horse, who's just funny, is a character.
Yeah,
I had to coax him through it. He was not going to go, but I had treats, and he finally started sloshing his way through it, and then he went prancing through all the water. It was hilarious. But
oh, man.
It was really crazy out there. It was, like, all flooded out on there. You know, I mean, he lives on, like, 100 acres or so.
Huh. Yeah, well, we braved the elements, and we drove about a 45-minute drive past the city of Placerville to the town of Apple Hill, and we... we cut down our tree.
It's awesome.
Legally.
Do they give you a saw, or do you have to take your own saw?
No, well, what you do is you walk up this mountainside, and you look at all the different trees, and when you find the one you want, you yell, cutter, as loud as you can.
Cutter!
Yeah, you just do that, and then they come running up the hill, and the guy with the saw just comes, cuts it down, takes it down for you, you pay for it, they run it through a bale machine, and it's all tied up, and they'll tie it onto your car or, you know.
Did you put it on the top of the sign?
No, we threw it. We just dropped inside one of the seats and threw it inside. Perfect. It fit just fine. We went with a couple friends of ours and just got our tree. And then we spent all evening setting it up, decorating it, and drinking hot noddies.
That's awesome.
And, you know, fireplace and all that fun stuff. So,
yeah, I'd like a fireplace. They have these electric fireplaces at Costco that I've got my eye on. So not wood, but just, you know, all it is. Well, you know what a fake fireplace is, but it was just neat. I like it.
Yeah,
so.
Just have that. All right, so holiday traditions for you guys is Thanksgiving, and okay, that's the big one. Favorite Christmas songs?
I do like Christmas songs, believe it or not.
Okay.
Greg Baxter, that was in Magnolia Thunderfinger,
yes,
believe it or not, turned me on to the Brady Bunch. Or no, I'm sorry. He turned me on to the Partridge Family Christmas album. Maybe he turned me on to the Brady Bunch Christmas album, but I think that was just Paloma's. I'm vague now, but
okay.
My favorite, it's not a Christmas song, but the Phil Spector Christmas album is absolutely my favorite. I listen to it every Christmas.
So. Darlene loves Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. That is my
She still performs that every year on David Letterman.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that and Oh Holy Night.
Oh, okay.
I just think that because that's a song I know I could never sing. So I admire it for that. Maloof Douchebaggery.
Yeah. The Maloofs own the Sacramento Kings, our local NBA franchise, and they're going to be moving the team. This is my first year. I own season tickets.
Yeah.
The guy that, the aforementioned guy that I house sit for, he bought me season tickets last year. So I finally have season tickets, and it looks like it's going to be a one time thing.
Maybe we'll get a hockey team.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be fun. All right. Jason wants to know, who would you hate to get in a punk rock Secret Santa, living or dead, and what ultimately would you buy this individual? For example, I picked Gigi Allen again. So who would you hate?
I don't... Well, first off, I didn't understand his question until he gave us the example.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably Lee Ving, because he has a song called F Christmas, so he'd probably just be mad that I bought him something.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. How about you?
Probably the lead singer of Screwdriver.
Good.
Yeah, I'd get him a box set of Roots. I'd get him that. Here, watch this jerk.
Excellent.
So the eternal question, cake or pie?
I like pie.
I do like pie, but there's also really good cake.
There is.
I'm a big
cake.
Fan of German chocolate cake.
I like German chocolate cake.
German chocolate cake, pie. Now you were just saying you ate a ton of pumpkin pie.
So I love pumpkin pie. Mm-hmm. I like pecan pie. Mm-hmm. I like banana cream pie. I like a lot of pie.
Yeah, pie. Oh man, that's a tough one.
Oh, it looks like there's something for you. It's not so much a question as.
Steelers. All right,
baby.
Here's and we were, when we were walking earlier to get something to eat, we were talking about movies, and you just saw Heath, this will get to the Steelers. You were talking about a movie that you just saw that made you cry.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't cry at real life.
I saw Life of Pi. Maybe
yeah,
cry.
But you cry at movies.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about that movie that made you cry?
It's an emotional movie.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know I don't know if I can pinpoint it. I cry at sports movies. My wife loves to point out that, you know, if I watch The Natural or...
League of Their Own. I get teary-eyed at League of Their Own.
Okay, that softball movie.
Uh-huh. It's not softball.
That's just me being sexist. What's wrong with being sexy? But I can't... If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Of course, I cry at that. I cry. I'm a crier.
Okay.
It's usually sports movies. So usually
Slapshot.
Like...
Cry at Slapshot.
I'm trying to listen to the song. Yeah.
All right. So here's why. So this will kind of tie it to is the sports movie. So the Steelers' first string quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, has been injured. And then their second string quarterback started a game. Was injured during the game, so then they.
And
had
you were
to
saying this second string. He's been in the league like 15 years.
15 years, never been a starting quarterback. At least not that I know. Uh-huh. Charlie Batch, just 15 years. He's gray. He's older, and you know he's just usually there to relay the plays.
Sure.
You know, on the headphones. So he started a game, was injured in the game. They had to bring their third string quarterback in, who is just wet behind the ears. He botched a game. They had the third string quarterback start a game. He botched that. I think he got injured. They brought in the second string quarterback today. They played the Pittsburgh Steelers played their biggest rivals, mm-hmm. the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. I'm always terrified when they play the Ravens because it's always the hardest hitting game. Steelers get injured all the time. I mean, these two teams hate each other and they just hit each other that much harder.
Yeah, because it's more than just a game. Yeah. There's a little rivalry.
Yeah,
there, okay?
and so I mean it was, and Charlie Batch had a great game. He wasn't flawless, but for Charlie Batch, it was a great.
That's
game.
That's awesome.
He started the game. He finished the game. They won in the last 3 seconds with a field goal, and after they kicked the Steelers kicked the field goal, the camera shows Ben Roethlisberger hugging Charlie Batch, and you can kind of. See Charlie Batch kind of shaking like he's crying and Ben's just you know holding him and patting him on the head, and everyone's just coming over giving Charlie Batch these hugs. So it was kind of like this was the climax to that to
it's
to
like
the,
a real
to
life
the natural.
Sports movie
yeah.
Yeah,
and it was just really cool to see, you know. And the Steelers, maybe if they're lucky, they'll get into the playoffs, be a wild card.
Okay,
that you know they haven't been playing very well, so I'm bracing myself for them not making it into the postseason. But it was just really cool to see this guy who's been on the sidelines for 15
sure.
years started a game against his team's biggest rivals, and he led them to victory. And then the starting quarterback is there. The kid who he was like, who he's mm-hmm. helping mentor, is there, you know, consoling him, or not consoling him, but just congratulating
yeah.
him. And it was a cool thing. So to me, yeah, Heath, really happy about the Steelers.
That's awesome.
Rick wants to know your favorite WWE DVDs.
Man, and here we are sitting in the Hypnotone Studios lobby.
Yeah.
Not next to
not
my
next
vast
to
the, collection.
Yeah, exactly.
Of,
that would have made the question so much easier, but now it has to be organic. You got to really think about it.
Piper? Yeah.
I'm a big... I mean, it's current, so right now it's the CM Punk.
Okay. You know what? I'm sorry. We can't talk about it.
We can't?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen... So I have to... So I'm just going to say right now that's my current favorite.
Okay.
I have to let you borrow it.
I heard that it's just the way it's done. It's
well,
just
right
incredible.
Now I don't have it in my possession.
Who'd you let borrow
I
it?
I loaned it to Sean Hills.
Wow.
Who actually enjoyed it.
Huh.
It's It's done very well. Yeah, I won't talk about it, but it's done very well. I can't wait for you to see it because you're going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, I have really wanted to see that. I want to own it. Yeah. I don't want to get it on, I don't know if you can get it on pay-per-view or watch it on Netflix, but I want to actually own the DVD.
Yeah, there's lots of great footage.
That's awesome.
And there's footage that when you watch it, you're going to go, I can't believe they put that on a WWE DVD.
Awesome.
So you'll be happy with that.
All right.
Prior to that, I would probably say The Rise and Fall of ECW.
That's a good one.
The Monday Night Wars.
That's a good one.
I love the Monday Night. For tugging on the heartstrings, the Rise and Fall of World Class Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
I think that was the hardest one to watch just because it was like watching an episode of Intervention.
Sure.
You know, just the tragedy of the Von Erichs. And probably my least favorite was the Ultimate Warrior one.
Yeah, just because they buried him the whole time. Yeah. And if you were a fan, how bummed out would you be? Not that that maybe didn't hold a lot of truth to it, but yeah all they did was just kind of rake on him the whole time.
Yeah,
and I mean, show all of his matches.
He was a jerk. I'm like, so he was the only one?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a jerk?
You don't think Hogan was a jerk?
Oh, yeah.
No?
It's like Hogan
even
was
my
the
beloved
only...
Piper, you don't think he was a jerk?
Yeah. I think they all had to be, but whatever. I haven't seen before Hogan was.
Superstar Billy Graham.
Yeah, Superstar.
I have that.
That's awesome
one.
That you knew exactly who I was talking about. Before Hogan, Superstar Billy Graham. Yeah. There you go. I haven't seen that one.
You should borrow that one.
Okay. So,
when you give me my Dutch Savage DVD, my VHS.
VHS. I do have the Dutch Savage VHS.
Somewhere.
Any others that you're, you said Piper?
I liked the Road Warriors one. I liked that one. I liked the Hogan one, believe it or not. I thought that was a good DVD. I actually like what WWE does normally.
Yeah.
The only one that was a bummer was that Ultimate Warrior one, to be honest with you.
That one wasn't done so much as a documentary.
Yeah, it was just...
And when they really put out something as a documentary, documenting this, what's going on, like the Rise and Fall of ECW, it was great. My favorite part is Taz talking about calling Paul Heyman on the phone as he's driving to the Royal Rumble to debut and asking Paul, making sure that he has Paul Heyman's blessing.
Wow.
And, and Taz is kind of getting choked up talking about this. And it just, I really like the fact that they're done very respectfully.
Sure.
And I think that's adds to why the Ultimate Warrior one is my least favorite. Because there was nothing to respect about that.
Mm-mm.
It was like, okay, you're going to have these guys who've never worked with the Ultimate Warrior. We're going to have them make fun of him.
Absolutely.
Like, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
So...
All right, well, we talked more about wrestling.
Yeah, we did. Sorry, Sean.
All right, well.
So you have your show.
Yeah, I have my show this Friday. I'd love to see people. I'm going to, I can't hear out of my right ear, so I can't sing.
Okay.
And I'm hoping it clears up by Friday. I don't know what I'm going to do if it doesn't, because I cannot sing.
Okay. So. And you're not going to drink.
I don't drink.
Yeah, you're not going to drink. Now. So hot tea with honey.
Okay.
That's all I would suggest.
But that's not going to do anything for my ear.
Yeah, well... Hot tea and honey in it. I don't know.
You meant in my ear.
Yeah, in your ear. In your ear. Just, I don't know. But
yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, how long? There's a lot of performers. How long do you have to perform for?
Oh, no, three songs.
Three songs? Oh,
yeah.
You can do it.
Oh, okay.
You can do it. Just.
I can't even practice. I can't even tell you how weird it sounds.
Really?
But since this is a radio show, I'll try to.
You have no choice.
It really sounds bad.
How bad does it sound?
Very bad.
Very bad.
Yeah.
Do you practice before your solo shows?
Like, I do.
Like full set, or do you just kind of run through the song real quick? How do you practice before a solo show?
I guess I just run through the song.
Okay. Yeah. Entirely, or just kind of?
You mean the day of the show, or just?
Yeah.
No, I mean I practice coming up to the show. I practice like you would be in a band. I just. Mm-hmm. No, I'm really lazy.
Yeah.
I am, I have to admit. So I'll run through stuff just to make sure I remember lyrics.
I think the biggest mistake that ever, it wasn't a mistake, the worst thing that ever happened to me is I had a solo show and I didn't practice for it. I hadn't picked up my guitar in a week and I did the solo show and I was really good. I mean, it's, for me, it was, I was like really happy with my performance. Then that kind of made me think, I don't need to practice. I just, you know, just make it real. Just grab the guitar and go on stage and do, and, you know, sometimes it pan out. Hasn't panned out for me too well in the past. So
yeah, I hear you.
So I've been trying, you know, whenever I do a solo show, trying to, you know, warm up, you know, just a couple days before, run through my set and the day of, just run through all the chords and get my vocals all warmed up and all that. But
I hear you.
But I am lazy.
Yeah, I'm lazy. All right. Well, but we're not lazy tonight. We
no.
met halfway.
Yeah.
Between your house and my, well, not quite halfway.
Yeah, we met a fourth and three fourths.
Yeah.
So fourth and three fourths.
We hope you like it. It looks like it's going to be more often. Maybe the first of the year, we might go once a week.
Yeah, you never know.
We keep talking about that, but, you know, it's Christmas time now, so we probably
what's the tag cast up to? Like episode 353?
They do three shows a week. But I found out something listening to the podcast cast. They record all their shows at once. So you and I could record three shows. We've been here since 5 o'clock.
So they're like the Impact Wrestling of podcasts.
Yeah, I had no idea. I honestly thought that they recorded like the night before each show debuts. No, they record them all at once and then edit them down. So we could do that. We have been here since, we could have been recording right when we walked in at 5 o'clock. Because what time is it now? It is currently 8:23. We could have three shows in the can. If
that's like 4 months of podcasts for us.
For us, okay. Yeah, we could have. Yeah, exactly. We could have half a year in one night.
There you go.
But
there
we give this to you fresh.
There you go. So all we have to do is we have to get their tapes and then release spoilers the night before.
Yeah. Hey, good idea. All right. So we're going to try to do this more often. We hope you listen. I have to say that the podcast cast said that they would listen to our episodes because we only do one every couple of months, but sorry, we're hitting you with another one right away.
Well, and then thank you for giving us a plug and listening to us and giving us your honest opinions.
Yep, it was awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, thanks everyone for listening out there.
And thank you, TedAngel.com, and everyone here at Hypnotone Studios.
Yep, it was awesome. Thanks for getting us set up. We like it. We're going to get even more comfortable here.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
All right. You know what I like you to say.
Take care.
That's not it.
That's not it.
It's adios.
Oh, is that
every episode you say adios?
I don't even think about it.
Every episode.
I didn't even think about it.
All right. Probably not every episode, but at least the past 10.
All right.
Okay. See
you. Caballeros y caballeras, por favor. All right.
What?
I don't know what I was. I felt like Keith Jukes there.
Say goodbye.
Okay. Adios. Darkest sky, but you live for